Hello everyone, this is John Needler. The title of the message today is Run Your Race with Endurance. And the Lord really gave me a picture of what this means on Sunday while we were worshiping. By the way, I'm a member of the Family Worship Center in Elgin, and I also minister at the Ministry of Challenge in Manor. So while we were in worship, the Lord really gave me a picture of one of my boys who has, in the past, he was a runner. He ran cross country and track. Just want to say I'm proud of all my boys. Dorian was an exceptional runner, and I would always look forward to his track meets because basically most of the time I knew he was going to win. And it's not bragging. It was just something I really looked forward to, really enjoyed because, you know, he was built to run. He was made to run. He is long and lean and mean when it comes to running. And so, as we were in worship, I just saw my son running and how he would be coming around the last turn and he would really kick it in gear on that last turn, even though he might have been in fifth or sixth place. He would begin his kick, and it was just really awesome to see him as he would pass other runners and gain first place. And so, you know, the Lord just showed me how that was really a picture of the race that we're running, because our Heavenly Father, He is watching. He watches over us. I believe He watches over us with an expectancy of what we're going to do. He created us. He made us. In fact, Scripture says that He knitted us together while we were in our mother's womb, and that every one of our days was written in His book, even before one of them ever came about. So God knows what He's doing, and He's working out His plan in us, those of us who have committed our lives to God, who are putting our trust and confidence in Him. He is able to save us. I believe we are saved. And we are in the process of being saved, and one day we will ultimately be saved as our Lord Jesus Christ returns and redeems all those who belong to Him. And I am looking confidently unto that day, looking forward to that day. What a day that will be. So just, I'd really like to just dedicate this message to my son. Also, by the way, he's training to be a nurse, and last week he called me and his mom. He texted us first, and then he called each one of us individually to share that he had ministered to a man who was dying. Basically, his body is given out on him, and he had a chance just to sit and talk to him for several minutes. And before it was all over with, he was able to pray with him and lead him to Christ. And it was his first time that he had ever done that. So and just a real blessing to see that happen in the lives of my children, that they're going out and doing great exploits. They're going out and doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. So he's one of the arrows in my sheath. I thank God for him, and I dedicate this message to him. Run your race with endurance. So I want to use the scripture of Hebrews Chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter, or author and finisher of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So our race, the race that we're running, it's not a sprint. You've probably heard that before. It's not a sprint. It's an endurance run. It's a long distance run. And the Apostle Paul is speaking to us to run the race that's marked out for us. Each one of us have a particular race that is marked out for us, that God has planned and purposed for us to live, living out our lives, living out the life that God has given us, doing the things that God has given us to do. So, just looking back to when my son was running again, they didn't just go out on the day of the meet and run as fast as they could. There was much training that went into it. There was a disciplined lifestyle where they didn't eat certain foods, and they had to load up on carbs. They had to they also had to make sure that they were hydrated all the time. They lived a disciplined lives, getting up early, training. Some of them had trainers who worked specifically with them. So that's how we need to live our lives, disciplined. Verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 12. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." So God wants us to run our race to win. He wants us to take it seriously. We need to shed off everything that trips us up. We need to get rid of the things that are hindering our walk. We need to get rid of the amount of time we spend on things that are futile, the things that don't add anything to us. In fact, they suck the life out of us. Also, he mentions the sin that so easily trips us up, the sin that so easily besets us. We've got to be the ones to do what it takes to win the race. Amen. So there in verse 1 of Hebrews 12, it says, therefore. So we need to go back and see what the therefore is there for. So Hebrews 11, of course, is the scriptures that speak of the heroes of faith. It tells us about different people in the Bible who were known for their faith, and it encourages us to live the same type of life. And I'm going to turn to that scripture, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. And I'm going to skip through. I'm not going to read each verse. I just want to hit the highlights. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. And this is the New Living Translation. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Verse 4, it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Verse 5, it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. Verse 7, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. And that's really the theme in much of this scripture, is righteousness that comes by faith. Faith alone, in Jesus alone, is what saves us. Verse 8, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. I love that scripture. He set off not knowing where he was going. Verse 10, Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. And isn't that what we're looking for? Hopefully you've come to a place in this life where you finally come to the conclusion that nothing can really satisfy us. Material things that we work hard for just seems to, it doesn't satisfy, it doesn't complete anything in our lives. But with Jesus, he wants to complete us. In fact, the scripture in John 3:16, where it says, whosoever believes in him, that word believes means to cling to rely on, and to trust in. So we get our contentment and our fulfillment through Jesus, and he should be everything to us. Verse 11, it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. Verse 13, all these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on the earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country that they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back, but they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And skipping on forward, Hebrews 11:32. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So even for those Old Testament heroes of faith, they were saved also by their faith. They were saved looking forward to Jesus, what the Messiah was going to do. Just like we look back and are saved by what Jesus has already done. And I'm so glad that his last words, one of his last words were, "It is finished." So we can put all of our trust, all of our confidence in him. So we're in when it says in Hebrews 12, verse 1, "Therefore," it's speaking of these heroes of faith, those who were martyred. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses," this word witnesses, typically when we read that, we can imagine this great cloud of witnesses, spectators in the grandstands, if you will. But this word witnesses in the Greek is actually martyres. The Greek word used here is martyres. The word also bears its later meaning, martyrs, meaning who have borne testimony with their blood. A cloud of witnesses have had witness borne to them through their faith, and in turn stand forth as witnesses to faith. And I want to read that scripture one more time, Hebrews 12, 1 through 4. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." So really, this scripture here, it's can you just imagine these martyrs, those who were willing to die for their faith? They set aside any of their own desires, because they knew that their real homeland was a city in heaven, a city whose builder and maker was God. And so they're encouraging us, they're cheering us on. Basically, they're saying, it's worth it. Whatever you're going through today cannot be compared with what God is going to give us in the future. In fact, Scripture tells us that these light afflictions, which are working for us an even greater weight of glory, these light afflictions cannot be compared to the far exceeding weight of glory. So these witnesses are cheering us on. They're saying, go for it. And especially Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who endured the cross because of the joy that was set before him. So we can't look on the things directly in front of us. We can't concentrate on our trials. It mentioned earlier how our Father disciplines those he loves. And sometimes we go through things and we don't understand why we go through them. But it's a part of God's discipline. It's not because we did anything in particular wrong. It's not like he's scolding us. He's disciplining us. He's adding discipline to us. He wants us to learn how to be content in every situation. He wants us to learn how to cry out to him for help, for fulfillment, for all those things that we need to run the race. First Corinthians 9:24 through 27. I'm sorry. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Also, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 through 12. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I love all these scriptures in Timothy because this is the Apostle Paul, and I see the discipler and his disciple in Timothy, and he's encouraging Timothy, and he calls him man of God, and he gives him instructions on what to do, what not to do. And I just want to encourage all of you to, if you're not being discipled by someone, seek someone who can disciple you. Look for someone who's making disciples and ask the question, can I be a disciple? Will you disciple me? We need discipline in our lives. We need to learn how to pray by someone who knows how to pray. We need to learn how to be a witness by someone who has learned how to witness, someone who knows how to witness. We need to be discipled in many areas, someone who's been there before, who has been there, done that. And that's how it was for the Apostle Paul and Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 8. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge, speaking to Timothy. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and the view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Verse 6. This is the Apostle Paul. For I am ready, being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So I just want to ask you today, are you running your race? Are you in the race? Or are you simply letting life pass you by? God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Many of you out there should be leading a Bible class, leading a prayer group, seeking someone to speak to every day, witnessing about the love of God given to us in Christ Jesus. We're actually supposed to be crying out to the world to be reconciled unto God, to be joined with God again, those who have been separated from Him through sin. Running the race takes a lot of hard work, a lot of training, a lot of discipline, the right diet. We can't allow ourselves to be dehydrated. We can't go for days and days without prayer and scripture. We need Jesus. We want to do something for God, but then we don't go to Him for strength and for help, and so we quit because it's too hard. It is too hard if we try to do it alone. We need God's help to run the race. Just one more scripture, 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body, and I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Run to win. But it's going to take strict training. We have to be disciplined. And it's worth it. We have a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. These heroes of faith that have gone before us. And especially, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for, first of all, giving us a race to run in, that you haven't left us as orphans. You've not left us alone. You've given us a plan and a purpose. You know the plans that you have for us, plans to bless us, to give us a hope and a future. So, Father, we place our lives in your hands. Father, we make a decision today to run the race. And we understand that we've got to be disciplined. We understand that we need you, Father, but help us to do that. Turn our hearts towards you. Help us to turn our hearts and our lives to you each morning, seeking you. You who have sought after us, Father, help us to seek you and to bless you. And we give you all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.